for sports. Now, by your side, through your smart speaker. Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Good morning and welcome in ESPN 1000. It's Brian Hanley and Mark Zander on a Sunday morning. Well, the Cubs, that wasn't a good story for you, Brian, but the Kentucky Derby, wow, Rich Strike, you had your money on him, right?
No, a lot of my friends said, hey, did you have that? Nobody had that.
Well, you know, right, it was an 80-1 long shot.
What a great story, Mark. And we'll get to baseball. And Jesse Rogers will be joining us. We'll look forward to his perspective on both sides of town. But an 80-1 shot that, as of yesterday morning, wasn't even in the race.
Right. It was Friday morning, right? That wasn't
Friday
in the race.
Morning. Yeah. At the beginning of the week, he was an also eligible horse. He had to have four horses drop out to get into the race. And as of yesterday, they were planning on shipping him to New York for a stakes race in a couple weeks or so, the Peter Pan Stakes. So he had actually told his dad that, you know, they're not going to make it. And then 15 minutes later, the track officials called and say that Dwayne Lucas scratched his horse and you're in. This horse had won one of seven races. They claimed him for $30,000, which is a lot of money to most people.
Yeah, but that's nothing in the horse business.
Racing, right? I mean, Epicenter and Zandon, I mean, you're talking about horses that are, you know, paid millions of dollars for. And this jockey, Sonny Leone, is a really good jockey, but at really small tracks, right? He's not making his money at Belmont or Gulfstream Park or Keeneland. He's at Turfway Park and you know, down in Arizona and, you know, scratching out a living. But you saw that ride he gave this horse. It's one of those stories where I lost money on the race and I couldn't be upset about it because
no.
It's a once in a lifetime dream come true for the owner, the trainer, the jockey, the horse itself just showed you. And, you know, when the trainer owner said after the race in the interview that they would never enter a race they didn't think they could win. And he was very sincere in saying that, even though he was 80-1 and nobody I know had a dollar on him. That it's just one of those great stories. The trainer that had a barn fire in 2016 or 17 and lost like 23 horses. Yeah, 23 horses.
Yeah.
Lost everything, was about to give up everything and you know, kept going. And he dropped out of high school to become a trainer. And this owner had like two horses in training. I mean, he's not some oil, you know, some sheik who owns 100 horses and can, you know, buy whatever he wants. It's just one of those great horse racing stories. Everyone, the owner, the jockey and the trainer all had a great story.
It's kind of like a grassroots operation as opposed to these big corporate operations, right? That's a good comparative. Yeah. And another thing too, I'm aware of you know, the Kentucky Derby, and I saw it, but I'm not into it like maybe somebody like you. And I would imagine that anybody who's casually a fan, this is the type of story that will suck you in. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because it's the, you know, comparatively speaking, it's the average guy. It's the average horse. It's a ridiculous amount of luck and circumstance that made this happen. And this really puts horse racing, you know, forget about Bob Baffert and that whole mess. This really kind of puts it front and center and makes people really appreciate what this sport is all about when something like this could happen.
My old buddy, Terry Bors, when we were at the Sun-Times together, he used to go to the Derby every single year. And he would get down there like 10 days early. And he would come back and tell me how much that was his favorite thing to cover of all sports. And Terry covered, I mean, he was a great columnist at the Sun-Times before he became a radio icon in sports talk radio. Mm-hmm. And he would tell me how much he loved being in the backstretch around the barns, talking to trainers and grooms and just the stories and just love being around it. And I mean, I fell in love with that's, you know, I'm one of these dopes that hopes to claim a horse, maybe not for 30,000, but for 12,000 or whatever with some friends and envision someday wearing the stupid, loud sport coats and everything else and be part of that Derby. And, you know, that's what people dream of. And I mean, if look, you know, you're blessed if you're able to afford one horse. And I've been in the winner's circle many times, and it's just a great feeling. Because it's like in any sport, you feel like you're part of a team that did something, right?
Right.
You know how difficult it is to win any race at any track. And from the heart of the horse, the talent of the horse, to the trainer getting him ready, and there are things you can't control. Like Dwayne Lucas, I don't know why he scratched that horse on Friday, but you know, there was a horse acting up in the gate right at the Derby, right? And they backed him out, and I don't know if they're going to scratch. Sometimes they scratch him right at post time. And there are things you can't control, but when it all comes together, it's part of a winning team. And you just, you know, one of the owners said he got into it because he's retired and he's bored and needs something to look forward to every month. So, you know, every week or so your horse trains and you get a video or you go to the track and watch him. And every 4 or 5 weeks they usually run. And it does. It gives you something to look forward to. It gives you a little excitement in your life. It's hard to put into words, but it's a great, that story just tells me, it shows me how much, you know, I love being part of that thing.
Well, across the board, it's for the people who are involved directly in it, people like yourself and casual fans. This is something that everybody can grab onto. What a great story.
Let's listen to the stretch call, because Mike Tirico did a hell of a job too.
Yes, he did.
Here comes Rich Strike up the rail, and no one saw it coming.
Zozos is next after 3/4 in 1:10.45, and now Epicenter comes splitting horses and is moving up quickly as Crown Pride takes the lead around the far turn. It is Crown Pride battling with Messier. They're stride for stride. Epicenter and Zozos in behind them. Cyberknife swings up on the outside. Santon gets the rail run, and they're into the stretch. And it's Messier, Crown Pride, and Epicenter is coming up on the outside. Epicenter has taken the lead as they arrive into the final furlong. Santon is coming after him. Epicenter and Santon, these two, stride for stride. Simplification down the outside is next. They're coming down to the wire. Epicenter, Santon, Rich Strike is coming up on the inside. Oh, my goodness. The longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, that's the great Larry Coleman's on the call. Mike Tirico said immediately, Rich Strike, how about Lightning Strike? And I mean, that's really what it was. Lightning struck for the owner of the track.
I mean, what part of the track, Brian? What part of the track did this? I mean, if you're dividing the track and say eighths, this was like 7/8 into the race, right? Where this really started happening, developing.
He's in the last post. You know, he's in the 20th post. He's wearing number 21, and he falls immediately back to the back of the pack, and Sonny Leone, the jockey, saves all the ground going on the rail, and then he starts maneuvering through 19 other horses, basically. And in the last, I think he said in the last 15 yards, he felt like he had the race won. And that, I mean, that's how, that's, he had to make one more move coming off the rail, and he swallowed up Zandon and Epicenter and ended up winning 80-1 shot.
I'm hearing Xander, but it was Zandon.
Zandon, you could be,
I wouldn't put my money on him. Actually, I wouldn't put my money on Messier because of my appreciation for Mark Messier on the ice for all those years. Is this the greatest finish that you've ever witnessed?
Oh boy, there've been a few of them. It's maybe the greatest story that I remember. And our guy Jay Cantu, who grew up or is friends with Keith Asmus and Steve Asmussen, is the best trainer right now, the winningest trainer. Jake, you were counting your money, weren't you?
Counting my money, man.
Counting your money, you're yards away from the wire. And even, I mean, he was went off at what, 4-1 is the favorite. 4-1 is a pretty good price for a favorite. And you were probably thinking, what am I going to do? I'm going to spend some money tonight.
I was, but it was spoiled like really quickly. But
within 10 seconds, yeah. I think your money was spoiled, pal.
It was like, you know, when your life flashes before your eyes, I was just thinking what I was going to do with my money and then just disappeared.
A buddy of mine had a guy I own horses with had $10 exactas, and he put like the entire field over Zandon. If Zandon came in second, he would have made $12,500. He came in third on a $10 exacta. That's how much the payoffs were with an 80-1 shot. over it. So he's like typical. It's typical. Yeah. What it could have, should have, almost did. Yeah.
312-332-3776. Let us know if you enjoyed the Derby. There was much to enjoy on the south side, although it was like the Derby race, right, Brian? It took all the way to the end for the White Sox to really kind of show up, and they came back, and it was an exciting finish. We'll end up talking to Jesse about that. Tough day on the north side. They got blanked in the first game. What was that guy pitching for the Dodgers? What's his name again?
Clayton Kershaw.
That guy.
Jerry Zuma tweeted out a close-up of a Chicago dog. He said, "I'm here." So I knew he was at Wrigley, right? Now, yeah. He had sport peppers on the dog. I'm not a sport pepper guy. I'll put everything else on there. And everyone's like, "Man, that looks great. I wish I was there. It's been too long since I've been to Wrigley." And, you know, he tweeted out, "I'm here." And I tweeted back at him. Unfortunately, so was Clayton Kershaw. But, you know, people still – a buddy of mine is a season ticket holder. And I said to him last week, he was going out there and it was overcast. It was rainy. I'm like, "Why would you do that to yourself?" He goes, "I just love Wrigley Field. It's my happy place." And people were tweeting that at Jerry Azuma, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, they sold 69,000 tickets for the split doubleheader yesterday. And I get it. It was a nice sunny day. It was a beautiful day to be outside. I mean, as long as you're going to be, you know, if you're aiding and abetting the Ricketts rebuild plan, someone tweeted out the Cubs are now tied for fourth for the first overall pick in the draft.
I saw that.
I mean, like, you know, that this is what you're rooting for, but you're out there buying the $20 hot dogs, wherever they are, $10 hot dogs, $14 beers, and buying tickets. Someone paid full price for 69,000 tickets. You might have gotten them on the secondary market for less, but someone initially paid that. You know, knock yourself out. But this team is so far away from being relevant. I mean, I'm almost, you know, ticked off about it. But
as a fan, you should be. I love the line "aiding and abetting." If you're supporting this nonsense, now I appreciate Wrigley on a beautiful day too.
I grew up there.
But how can you keep that appreciation when this is happening and it's going to get worse before it gets better?
I'll ask Jesse and I'll ask you. I don't see them. Okay, so the White Sox have won what, 5 in a row now?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Yep. And yep. And we maybe we'll look back on the win yesterday, although Dallas Keuchel's starting today with his 8.40 ERA. It's against a bad Red Sox team. Dylan Cease gave up one earned run, gave you an opportunity to be down just a run going into the ninth inning. You tied and you win it 3-1 in extras. It's against a bad Red Sox team. But Tony La Russa said, he's been saying all along, it's heart, guts, and talent, which might be hyperbole for a 500 team. But they found a way to win that game, right, and keep that winning streak going.
And that's huge for confidence, too, to know. Sure. Now, I know it's Boston. But
my point is, yeah, how important is that game? Because you might look back on it, and this five-game streak, if Dallas Keuchel can acquit himself today, could turn into an eight-game streak. And you might look back on that as a very important game to keep that confidence, keep that momentum and everything else. Finding a way to win a game when you should have lost, even though it's a bad team. You find a way. Sacrifice fly, you know, the free runner scores. I'm still don't like the free runner deal. But you find a way, key hits, good defensive play, getting the ball in on the double so that they don't score. Just little things, right?
The little things are really evident this year as compared to last year.
Yeah.
For sure.
So,
312-332-3776. We'll break here, come back, talk more about the White Sox. There are a few things that they have to consider that I want to bring up as people are going to start showing up off the IL, thankfully. And we'll talk about that. We'll get to Jesse at 9:35 here, too. You're listening to ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
How big was Luis Robert getting to that ball, obviously, in left center that Vasquez hit? It looked like that was going to be a real tough play to stop that, to cut that off and go to the wall.
I mean, it was so many key moments because it was such a close game. But, you know, biggest impression I get, you know, we really worked to win that game. They did too, but we were really working to win, and we got rewarded. I mean, all game long, you know, we just kept trying to push. You know, the guys shut us out, we kept pushing, guys went on. that late rally, and I mean, we were, the team was rewarded for trying so hard. So it makes it extra special.
What does a win like this show you about the ball club that you have?
Just proves what I've been telling you about them all along. I mean, heart, guts, talent. Yeah, just, the problem is we're playing other teams that got heart, guts, and talent, so it's nice. We'll be working our part. We'll take care of that.
Well, Brian, the Red Sox pitcher Nick Pivetta, losing record, but boy, he locked us down for most of the game. That was a little frustrating. We stranded some people on base, but late game heroics into the extra innings, and the White Sox got something that I think, again, against the Red Sox, I know they're not playing well, but they did, they did hold us off for a while. And the fact that we got that win now, good confidence booster. I don't have a lot of hope for Dallas Keuchel, who's on the mound today, but if for some reason he can do his part and we can get some runs on the board and he actually gets a win out of that, will that help him between the ears? Maybe. We'll see.
Well, a couple of things there, Mark. Nick Pivetta, it shouldn't be that difficult when a guy comes in with an almost ADRA, right?
That's the point.
And he's shutting you down.
Yep. Yeah. That was a little frightening.
Before the ninth inning, you had infield singles, pop up the fell. So you weren't doing anything. You weren't barreling the ball at all. And you found a way. I mean, Dylan Cease didn't allow anything. And then your offense did just enough. Your defense did enough. Your base running was good. It all came together at the end. So you found a way to win a game that you would have hoped would have been an easier victory. But in the end, you get that W. And, Dallas Keuchel is interesting because we were talking yesterday, what do you do with him if he goes out and is the Dallas Keuchel we've seen of this year and pretty much last year? I mean, last year he had a 5.23 ERA. He's got an 8.4 ERA now, and it just doesn't look good. 11 walks in 15 innings so far. And he told Daryl Van Schouwen of the Sun-Times that he's a perfectionist, has been all his life. Now, that's something I've never suffered from. So, I just lucky.
You just roll with it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good enough
student,
for you.
What is the old saying? Like, is it C students rule the world or run the world? I mean, a lot of CEOs were not perfectionists. But he said, I love this quote from him. He said, some umpires and hitters have dared me to throw strikes. So instead of nitpicking, I have to be on the outer or inner third of the plate. Instead of trying to dot a gnat's ass on the black. I mean, that's how perfect he wants to be, right? So here's hoping he goes out there and just throws strikes today and doesn't try to paint the corners. Just, try to let him put the ball in play and let the guys behind you do something. So, yeah, I mean, Dallas Keuchel, I don't know if we can overstate how big a start this is. It might be his last start for the Chicago White Sox if he goes out there and issues pass after pass. And, ends up being the 8.40 ERA starter that you're paying $18 million for.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting today. Look, here's a guy who, he had it between his ears, right? He's a Cy Young Award winner. This is a few years removed. He's getting older. But as pitchers that know how to pitch, they adjust to age with compensating for the things they can no longer do. And we'll see if Dallas can step up. If there's a team to do it against, it's Boston, because boy, I'll tell you something. I can't imagine hearing Boston sports radio right now regarding the Red Sox, because they must be pulling their collective hair out. I've got the lineup here. Let's go through it. Leury Garcia had a decent day yesterday, 2-for-3. He's starting out the game. TA is on the bench, so he's playing right field. He's batting first. You got Luis Robert in center field batting second. Jose Abreu, DH in today. Yasmani's at first. He's batting cleanup. Gavin Sheets, very cold bat for Gavin. He's in left field. Hopefully he can turn it around. Jake Berger's at third base. I'll tell you something. We're going to talk about this. I don't know what they're going to do with Jake once Moncada comes back, but I've really been impressed with both defense and offensive play from Jake Berger. Reese McGuire behind the plate. Josh Harrison batting seventh at second base. Danny Mendick, shortstop, batting ninth, and Dallas Keuchel's on the mound. So what are we going to do with Jake Berger? I think this is a guy who has to stay here, but when Moncada comes back and you have somebody that needs to spell some time off for TA, I guess you put Leury there and maybe you send Mendick down to keep Berger up. That's an interesting perspective. Now, Sheets, or maybe you send him down, but that doesn't really match up with who you have on the field once Moncada comes back.
Yeah, and speaking of TA, we have a Twitter poll question because it's been a pretty good week, right? Five straight wins for the White Sox.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's been the player of the week for the White Sox? And you're spoiled for choice in some regards, but Twitter only allows you four options or four answers. So player of the week, is it Tim Anderson, TA? Is it Dylan Cease? Is it Liam Hendricks, who has been outstanding coming on, you know, closing out games? Or is it Louis Robert? And you can go add a few more of those if you want, 312-332-3776. Because, I mean, Adam Engel's been great this week. There have been a lot of guys who've come up in key situations and delivered, right?
Yeah, you know, looking at this list, and you're right, there are a few writings if you need to write something in. But out of the four that we posted here, I've got to say Liam with Tim Anderson a close second.
Yeah, Louis Robert can't be out of that equation.
No,
either,
no. I mean, it's hard. It's not an easy choice by any means. And that's good. That means we're starting to fire on all cylinders or most cylinders, which is what we need to do.
Yeah, it's good to see. Again, you should be winning these games against the Cubs and the Red Sox, but you are. And, you know, yesterday's game, you found a way. And teams that aren't really going in the right direction, they lose that game, right? They don't even, you know, they don't even show you the good intention.
Hey, 2 weeks ago, the Sox would have blown that.
Yeah.
Zip.
No doubt. No doubt.
Lots of errors, too. 312-332-3776. You can watch us on Twitch. It's sponsored by Cover 5. Use code Chicago to sign up at cover5.com. We're talking to Jesse at 9:35. We'll cover the north side and the south side. You know, when Kelly comes to pitch for us, and we haven't seen him this year at all, you know, that's another interesting one, too, because what do we do in the bullpen? I immediately looking, maybe Ryan Berg goes down right-hander for a right-hander so we can make some room for Kelly.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Wednesday they have a TBA, TBD to be determined to be announced for their starter, right? Mm-hmm. And Vince Velasquez, Vinny V, V squared, could go on short rest. But why would you do that when you have Johnny Cueto coming up and ready, right?
Yeah, and he should be ready by that point. I would imagine that they're just kind of keeping their options open, but Cueto's probably going to be the guy slotted in.
I would hope so. I want to see what he brings to the table for you. And I wouldn't, you know, Velasquez is going great these last two starts. Don't make him go on short rest. You know, keep that going. In the
right don't direction. Push it. Don't be right. Don't push it. No need to push that.
What do you think? Okay, Dallas Keuchel said, you know, he's got to stop trying to dot the dot a Nat's ass on the black. He's trying to be too perfect. Mm-hmm. Does he give you a quality start today? Does he get to the fifth inning? Does he not?
I actually think he does. You know, it will be better than what we've seen. You know, define quality start for him. See, that's the thing. If it's better than what we've seen, I'm encouraged. But it's got to be really much better than what we've seen, not just borderline. And what he's saying there, you know, it has a lot of validity, right? We actually saw Dylan Cease doing this the past few years leading up to this year, where he's just trying to nibble and he was pitching too much, throwing too many pitches, getting himself out of the game too early because he's trying to be too perfect. Dallas has been around this game long enough. If he's saying that he feels like he's trying to be too perfect and he could actually loosen up today, I think we'll get something better. And remember, you know, he's not a strikeout guy. He's a guy that throws ground balls. And if that is what happens today, then he's on his game.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, okay, so he's top five Cy Young 2020. That seems like 10 years ago, right? Instead of a couple of years ago. But, you know, I can appreciate that he thinks there should have been a lot more 1-2 counts than 2-1 counts because he's just missing his pitches. And that could be actually accurate and he might be spot on. But the fact is, they aren't strikes, they are balls, and there are 11 walks in 15 innings. So you just have to throw, you know, don't maybe not center cut, but he's right. You better go outer third or inner third and give your defense a chance to do what it does.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah. You know, don't try to throw a no hitter today.
So that's the thing. That's always been his career, though. You know, yeah. He's a ground ball pitcher. Let the team do the work, because at this point, you're not blowing away anybody. It's not going to happen. And that's the adjustment he's had to make as he's gotten older. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk to Jesse next, and he no doubt will give us some insight on what the feeling is on the north side, and his insight on what's going on the south side with this winning streak. And hopefully we can continue today. It's Dallas Keuchel versus Michael Wacha, who does have a winning record.
Wacha.
3-0, 1.38 ERA, 19 strikeouts. We'll see what he can do against us. But Dallas has got to hold down the fort. You know, we've got to get at least 4 or 5 innings from him.
He can't Wacha. No.
No, he can't. 312-332-3776. It's Xander and Hanley. We'll be right back talking to Jesse Rogers here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000 on a Sunday morning. We've got an early game today. White Sox and Red Sox, Keuchel on the mound. And we've got Jesse Rogers joining the show. Hey, Jesse. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well, guys. Yeah, watched a lot of baseball this weekend. Exciting finish on the south side. Well, south side of Boston, I guess. I don't know where they're playing Boston, actually. Right. But exciting there. Not so much exciting on the north side, which I will be there tonight for baseball tonight. Of course, the feature game of the week, the Cubs and Dodgers.
Yeah, well, at least it's not the Cubs and the Reds.
Yes, that will be at the Field of Dreams.
Yeah, and what?
So look forward to that.
I can't imagine the feeling going into that matchup. People pulling their hair out of
that. Hopefully, a lot of Cubs AAA players will be up. Brendan Davis. That's when you know it's going well. If nobody nationwide knows anybody on the Cubs because they brought up all their minor leaguers, that actually means good news for the Cubs because those guys are doing well.
So let's start.
The minor leaguers they have out there now.
Yeah,
you said that, not me.
Daniel Norris. I don't see any more of him. By the way, I know he was a spot starter, but how did the Dodgers score 6 runs on 3 hits? Oh yeah, was it 11 walks?
That's so funny you bring that up, Brian. I'm staring at a stat right now. In the modern era, since 1900, the Dodgers at that moment had never scored 6 or more runs with 3 or fewer hits. Now they ended up with a
record-setting day.
Yeah, 6 or more runs with 3 or fewer hits.
But they sold 69,000 tickets yesterday. I mean,
yeah, you know, I know. There are people
am I missing the point?
Yeah, nah. Well, it was one of the nicer days of the spring, right? That's
hey, we've been waiting a long time for a nice day, so I get that. That seems to make a lot of sense. Are those nice days in the in the deepest part of summer going to fill that place fill up with what's happening on the field? I'm not sure, but is there any bright spot, anything, Jesse, to give Cubs fans something to appreciate right now? Anything?
Well, the key phrase there is right now. I mean, I have a feature up on Seiya Suzuki, and I'm thinking when I wrote it a week ago and then posted, okay, this is the face of the team now.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in a real extended slump now. When I say real extended, it's 2 weeks. But it almost feels longer because he is about the only guy to watch in that team. Now down to, I think, 158 since his hot start. It was like 11 good games to start the month of April, 11 bad games, and now it's extended into May. You do see some signs. You had that triple to right field. You know, when you go oppo, that's always good, and hit the ball hard. So you had a hit in each game. That's the start of something. But he still seems to be taking pitches he should be swinging at and or swinging at and swinging through some good pitches. And talking to him, he doesn't think there's any one thing. Like, it's just not the curveball or it's just not the pitch low and away. It's a little bit of everything, so there's some good and bad in that, I suppose. His timing is definitely off. And a lot of his inside is said for sure. He's second-guessing himself at the plate. I think even just a casual fan can see that. So he'll come out of it. That's the one thing. He'll come out of it. If Keegan Thompson had gotten out of the bases loaded jam, I would have pointed to him again. I mean, he had a beautiful strikeout and then a 4-pitch walk. But that's kind of what happens with young players, right? So I think there are some positives, very individualized there on the north side going on, but it's not adding up to anything. They have two home runs from the left side of the batter's box. That's tied for the least in the league. Like tonight against Walker Buehler, you need to be able to run into one or two here and there, especially if you're Ian Happ or Hayward or someone. And they just don't have the ability to do that. And it's really hard to string four or five hits together in an inning against a team like the Dodgers. So the opponent isn't helping them, and the little rut that their star player is in isn't helping them. And certainly Madrigal's got to come out of it as well.
Speaking of Hayward, David Spada called in yesterday and said there was a cryptic tweet from Jason Hayward this week, almost intimating that they're going to do something with him. Is there any chance to just go release him? I can't imagine he could even manufacture a trade if he ate 90% of that contract. Is there anything going on there? Because, he's taking up a spot that maybe you would want to see some of these minor league guys coming up. I can't imagine Ricketts swallowing that money. Is there anything there?
I think there's something there, but not yet. I think it'd be weird. Why didn't you just cut him in spring training if you're going to do it on May 7th?
I'm with you.
I think the answer to that question comes later when Brennan Davis is pushing it to make it to the majors. Now, he's off to a slow start in the minors. That's my point. When you really need that roster spot, and they don't, let's face it, they don't. There's some interchangeable parts. Michael Hermosillo has a roster spot, for God's sakes. Right. So Jason Hayward can stay. He can stay until he's really pushed. And maybe that is when Brennan Davis is ready, because when Brennan Davis is ready, you want him playing every day, Suzuki playing every day, and pretty much Ian Happ playing every day. Maybe Frazier gets back out there after his health issues are passed. So I don't think you're at emergency time now where you can't play Hayward. You're not going anywhere. You just started the season. But I do think we know what's going to happen. We know this guy is not going to finish out 2023 with the team. So it's just a question of when. Is it after the season? Is that the All-Star break? Is it middle of next year? I don't know. Those are internal discussions that they're not going to leak out of respect to Hayward. But we know that clock is ticking. And for my money, it's when the roster spots are really needed is when a move like that happens.
Yeah, Jesse, on the south side, we've got Dallas Keuchel on the hill. It's been pretty tough this year. Last year wasn't pretty as well. Former Cy Young Award winner. What does he have to do today to stay on the team? Because eventually, the way we're looking at it, you've got Vince Velasquez has had two good outings. Johnny Cueto's, going to pitch for us at some point. Then you've got Lance Lynn coming back. I mean, what's the solution on Keuchel? How does he remain on the team? Because it doesn't look, especially because of his performance, it doesn't look like he is going to be long for the team through the end of this season, at least.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that way. Now, you do want to hold on to any healthy arms for as long as you can. Mm. So let's see how this plays out. But I don't disagree with you. It's just been trending this way for, I don't want to say over a year, but almost close to it at this point, right? By the second half of last year, we kind of knew he was on the outside looking in as one of their key pitchers. Doesn't help to have some weird start time today for a veteran because, they don't like that. But the bigger thing is Tim Anderson's getting rested. And this team is not good when he's out of the lineup compared to when he's in it. So we'll see how that plays out. But regardless of the lineup, he still has to just pitch well. Like, he's had some bad luck behind him. I mean, those errors, and he's had some balls get through.
Oh, no doubt.
And he will use the bad luck. We'll call it excuse as much as anybody. It's over. You're done with it. Get the ball on the ground. Get it hit to teammates. Get some swings and misses. Just pitch well. And you have the right team to do it against. The Boston Red Sox are an absolute mess. Their OPS is down like at 26 with the Tigers and the Royals. They're awful at the plate right now. We saw what happened yesterday. They couldn't add on. Couldn't even score in the 10th inning, for God's sakes, when the Sox took the lead. So, yes, this is your chance. Granted, it's on the road, early morning, no Tim Anderson. But you have to put that all behind. You are pitching for your White Sox career. So you
absolutely.
Have to pitch well. There's my answer.
Yeah, he's a ground ball pitcher, and he has to stop trying to be perfect and let the field do the work. And hopefully they could put some runs behind him without Tim in there. Before we let you go, I want to ask you about this. Jake Berger, I think, has been great, both offensively, defensively, maybe even a surprise to some. Do they send Mendick down for Mankata then? when Mankata comes back? They've got to keep Berger up, I think.
I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to say, yes, they keep Berger up. I think he's been great. He's been a great addition in the locker room. I mean, I would even think, and I think there's been some whispers about this, I would even think about putting Mankata at second. You remember, they're not getting much production there, and leaving the Berger at third base, unless Jake can make the transition to second. I would try to somehow keep both of those bats in the lineup, and Glove, for that matter. But yeah. Berger's been great at third defensively. We know Mankata. I mean, in the offseason, Hans said no to Mankata at second, but that was before, you know, Berger showed up and the production at second dropped even more than it was last year. So I love Josh Harrison, but the numbers aren't quite there. I don't know if you do that right away coming off an injury, but, you know, I don't think it's that hard to pick up second base if you played it before. But to answer your question, yes, I would keep Jake Berger in on the major league team.
And you know, Jess,
if you're keeping your best 26, he's one of them.
And, right. Jess, you know, yesterday Fangraphs had, or through Thursday, Fangraphs had the Sox at 57% chance to be a playoff team. They've won five straight, and they're still, what, they're three and a half back of the Twins. Yeah. You know, the injuries, we know. I mean, we don't have to go chapter and verse. We know how devastating they've been to this team. Should they feel good that they're sitting in second a few games back at this point, given the poor play and the injuries at times? Or, you know, would you bet a dollar on them being a playoff team right now, or do you have to see more?
No, I'd probably bet a dollar on them. I think the word I used on Friday or when I was with Carmen is it's going to be a grind. And I don't think we used that word last year about this team at all. I think it will be a grind. I think the best thing about just even the last week, this win streak, is it's Vince Velasquez. It's Matt Foster. It's not frontline guys. They're actually showing up. Jake Berger, the depth is showing up. Rick Hahn spoke about the depth in spring. You never really believe it until you see it, right? But to see what Velasquez will, let's not understate, we got to make that a big deal because he was awful last year. Mm-hmm. And what he did against the Angels and then on the road against the Red Sox, unbelievable. What Matt Foster has done in his last few appearances. So if you're telling me they're deep at 27, 28, 29, 30th man on the roster, now I'm starting to believe in this White Sox team because we know Luis Robert, when healthy, is going to be there. We know the frontline guys will be there. Giolito's going to have his run. They're going to go on some runs. So yes, I'd pay a dollar, but I don't think it's going to be a five-game lead in 3 weeks. You know, I just think it's going to be a grind for a while at least.
I'll throw five at that. Myself.
Well, the Cubs even win. Can the Cubs win four games in a row from now till the end of the season?
The answer is yes, because I do think they'll be streaky against the right opponent. It's going to be an opponent that has some average lefty starters that they hit well against. It's obviously going to be, you know, a team that's 500 or below. You know, a series or two where the matchups are right for them, and that matchup is not dominant on the mound, whatever that is. So whether it be, I don't know, Diamondbacks actually can pitch a little bit.
Yeah, they're 500 now.
Yeah, pick that team or two that is just okay on the mound and doesn't have a dominant righty staff or Clayton Kershaw. And, yes, I do think they'll reel off a few. Of course they're going to win four in a row at some point, Brian. I know you're being facetious.
Jesse Rogers, thanks for joining us. Have fun at Wrigley tonight, will you?
We'll see you tonight on the TV.
Yes, about 5:30, baseball tonight, a little talk about Suzuki and maybe some talk about that umpire apologizing in Arizona. I know if you saw that story I wrote. Rare that an umpire apologized publicly for that ejection of Madison Bumgarner.
Is this a turning point? Are we going to start hearing more from umps now? I doubt it.
I don't think so. I think that one ump might lead to more, a few more, but it's a very individualized. It's not like the league told him to do this. This is just a guy. You know, if you're one of those people that feels really bad about something, you got to get it out there. This was one of those guys. But I don't think we're going to see a huge trend, though. Could it open the door for another one or two? Yes. But this was very individualized. He wanted to say this publicly.
Joe, all right, Jesse, come thanks, out of buddy. Retirement and say, don't do that again. Don't apologize about anything.
If Joe West apologized, we'd still be talking. It'd be a week-long apology.
It would be a month-long talk. Yes,
yeah. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you,
all
Jesse.
Right, yeah.
It's ESPN 1000. We're going to come back and wrap this up. It was a shorty today. We've got Connor McKnight on the pregame at 10 a.m. as the White Sox take in on the Red Sox for an early game out in Boston on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. We'll be right back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, your home for the Chicago White Sox. Connor McKnight at 10 a.m. with the pregame leading into an early game on Mother's Day in Boston, Red Sox versus our White Sox. And before we get to the poll, Brian, Xander and Hanley here, let's go to John from Wheeling. He wants to talk about the White Sox. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, I just have a quick question as to, yeah, is there a good reason why you can't flip-flop Keuchel and Ronaldo Lopez and have Keuchel go to long relief?
Wow.
Well, I think anything is possible. I just don't, if Keuchel isn't performing, do we want him there? Because Ronaldo's been a pretty good tool in that position right there.
He got himself in trouble and out of trouble yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he's 4-0. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about being right. You were holding your breath every time he took the mound, right? And you just can't ask Dallas Keuchel to do something that he's never done at this point in his career. I don't see how that works out for anybody. So, but thanks for your call. He goes out and starts today and does what he used to do, and he starts doing it more consistently, or you're going to have an exit plan for Dallas Keuchel. It's that simple. You're paying him $18 million. He seems to think he knows what's going wrong. He's got to start trying to be less perfect and just throw strikes. And if he can do that today and then start stringing consecutive starts together, great. Everyone will be happy.
I think so, yeah.
He's pitching, like Jesse said today, and we said yesterday, he's pitching for his Sox career today. I don't think that's overstating it. If he goes out there and wets the bed, you got to figure out within a week.
And Jesse brought up a good point, Brian. You know, Keuchel has not had good fielding behind him on a first couple of his starts. I mean, that blowout, was it the Guardians? Oh, that was just really tough to watch so many different ways. So no excuses. But if he stops trying to be perfect and he lets his fielders do the work, as we've said, I think it's going to look a little better for him today. Thanks, John, for the call. We've got this poll here, and this was put up by you, Brian. Who was the White Sox player of the week? Now, there could be many more than just four.
Well, you could have had eight.
Yeah. Right? No doubt. We're only allowed four on Twitter. So here are your choices: Tim Anderson, Dylan Cease, Liam Hendricks, Luis Robert. And before we get to the tally here, I'm going with, me personally, Liam, then Tim, then Dylan, then Luis. And that's tough because Luis really shouldn't be in the bottom of anything.
And Jake Berger, like you guys have been saying.
And Berger, Berger's been solid too. So
I would vote Liam myself because he closed out all those games and he did it well. So
yeah, and Jake, if you want to jump in and give us a tally on this poll here, which one won?
For sure. So with your guys, Liam Hendricks had 30.5%, but he was beat. He was in second place by Dylan Cease with 34% in first. And then Tim Anderson with 23.4% and Luis Robert coming in last with 12.1%.
Okay. And I think I know why that happened. I mean, Dylan is the big story here, right? Tim Anderson is the leader of the team. And Liam is supposed to do what he's doing. Dylan, we had hopes, but boy, has he really come through.
Yep. And more of that, please. I mean, he did just fine yesterday. So, yeah. And they found a way. He didn't get the win, but they got the win. That's all that matters.
No, right. And his performance was just dominant. So it was really nice to see that Dylan has seemingly turned the corner. Looking forward to seeing Michael Kopech again on the mound because I think he's making strides in the right way. And Lance Lynn will be back in June at some point, and look forward to seeing Johnny Cueto. He's got that weird little twitchy thing going on. It'll be good to see him in a White Sox uniform. God knows he's given us fits in some starts over the years.
Hug your mom today. Happy Mother's Day.
Yep.
And enjoy what should be a beautiful day. And enjoy White Sox baseball. ESPN 1000.
Yep. Connor McKnight is next with the pregame. Brian, always good to hang with you, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks Jake.
Mark.